are here at the 2019 NACUSO Network Conference in San Diego, California, and look who's in the studio lounge.
Hello.
Melina Palmer, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Welcome to the studio lounge.
Love it.
And yeah, again, we're here at the NACUSO Conference here in San Diego, and you wanted to talk about... Before we get going, tell us a little bit about the Brainy business. What you're doing, because you used to be part of Verity.
Yes.
You were the head of marketing.
Brand and product programs and
for Verity Credit
communications
Union,
and all that.
Which is
good
a very
stuff.
Progressive. You guys did a fabulous job up there as far as marketing goes when you were there.
So, yes.
Yeah, and they're still doing some good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, and I think a lot of what I loved about Verity is they were definitely on board with the crazy ideas I had at different ways of appealing to people's brains, which is what I do now.
Yep.
And so, you know, for an auto loan promotion and trying to do auto loan refinances, I was able to find and buy a car that we cut in half and put different pieces in different malls that you could go sit in. And that was the, you know, it's better to cut your rate than to cut your car,
very nice.
To get people thinking differently.
Bum-boom.
Right.
Nice.
And, but it's, it seems silly,
it
but
works.
The brain actually makes associations in that way.
I get it.
And so that's when I left Verity, it was to study and get my master's in behavioral economics, which I now use in the Brainy business, my company. And so I help businesses and have a real good spot in my heart for credit unions, so I do a lot of work there, but help people to understand how the brain actually makes buying decisions and how you can properly talk to the subconscious brain so that you get more leads and more conversions and have more benefit. And I also have a podcast where I help people to understand the concepts, because it's a really new field.
Oh, so. Totally new, but growing by leaps and bounds,
absolutely,
for sure.
Yeah. When Thaler won the Nobel in 2017, it definitely was a big tipping point to where it's really gaining a lot of traction.
And you are right there in the middle of it all. So
yeah,
no
Nobel yet, but you know.
We're working on it. We're working on it. Give you a couple of years.
Yeah.
A couple of years. Hey, the topic that you wanted to talk about was three things your business must learn from the Apple Card, which was recently announced a few weeks ago at one of their conferences.
Right. So I shuffled everything in the podcast. I had all episodes already done.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I have to do this one about Apple Card because I know I have so many listeners and people with financial institutions, and it's something everybody's been talking about for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody, I don't think anybody's surprised that it happened, and yet we're also surprised that it happened.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, because humans are a herding species, one of the things that everybody would do is where you make your choice of how you're going to move forward, you'd say, well, we don't need to go and have a card like this. We don't need to do these things. We know people don't really like fees, but everyone else has fees, so we don't have to make the change until somebody really big comes into the market and makes a move. And now they have, and Apple has really played up the no fees ever messaging and everything that they know, and the way they've framed that card to where it's really going to appeal to customers for them. But now all the financial institutions that could and should be looking at this and saying, well, like, they've made this announcement and they've given us this gift of time because it's not available yet. What changes can we proactively make? What our hurting brains will actually tell us to do is to sit back and rest and say, well, we'll wait and see if it really matters, if people really care, if other people are actually going to jump to Apple Card before we try to make a change. And it just can sort of perpetuate the problem, which is
completely.
Why It's the way we're wired as a herding species.
Is that like a Blockbuster move, where they just kind of waited while Netflix just took over the world as far as video goes?
Absolutely. That's this being part of the herd is how we stay safe. And even when we think we're being progressive and we're talking about it, we've been talking about it forever.
Oh, you're right. You're exactly right.
And so you feel like you're doing something, but then you never actually take the step because that's where it would be difficult. It's hard to step out of the box. And the institutions, the brands, the people that actually get seen and make a difference and are able to get ahead of the pack and kind of form their own herds are the ones that are willing to kind of break free.
Right. And those are the Apples and the Netflixes and the Airbnbs, and those are the ones that don't seem to have a herd mentality. They want to stay ahead.
And and they're just really confident in what it is that they do and why they're there and what their purpose is in a way that you're able to get a group to form around you.
Yeah.
So I've been calling this concept seen, not heard, H-E-R-D. And it's this, if you want to be able to be seen and make a difference, you just can't be part of the herd.
Right.
but you have to be able to get your tribe. You know, you have to be part of something to understand what matters to people to take the step. And financial institutions do know that so far, right?
Right.
We know, credit unions know that members don't like fees.
Right.
That's not a surprise.
Right.
And
well,
it's not...
Nobody likes fees.
Right. Anybody? Yeah. That people don't like fees.
Right, right.
And we know from payday lending that interest rates are something that people tend to not really pay attention to. But everyone talks about interest rate in the industry, and so you feel like you should make that message. Mm-hmm. But then when you change it up, even with a really small tweak, and I know you had Scott from Coast Hills come in and talk about a project
did,
right. Where instead of talking about rate, we did the did your checking account pay you $315 last year, and they saw, I believe it was 60% growth.
That seems a more practical, realistic message rather than the rate. Seems, yeah, the rate's important, but it seems kind of intangible. But when you say, hey, I got $300 back last year, well, that hits home really hard.
And, did your checking account do that? And you can very easily say no, and then you want to go learn more about it, versus we have a checking account that pays 1.26% APY on up to $25,000. Even in the industry, you kind of go,
like,
what? Cool. I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
And if you see that on a billboard or what, it just doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And our subconscious actually makes over 99% of our decisions. The highest study I've seen puts it at 99.9999%.
I believe it. Yeah.
And so you need to be appealing to the subconscious, which is interested in immediate gains and gratification. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the other points I made about Apple Card, is by putting the rewards so close to the habit they're trying to reinforce is one of the smartest things that they did.
Yeah.
Instead of saying you get points 30, 60, 90 days from now and this other thing and you have to go log in over there, something you don't look at, and it's not tied to the behavior you want repeated, it's not going to form the habit of using the card in the way that we want it to. Whereas in this case, somebody has to pull out and they're going to pay with Apple Pay, and maybe it's, oh, I have to put gas in the car, but you know, Apple's going to give me a few bucks. Maybe I'll run in and go grab a soda and I'll get some pennies back on that too.
Yay me, right?
Mm-hmm. And then that the win is associated with Apple versus the transaction. Whereas at this point, as the financial institution, you kind of get tied into the negatives of the money coming out of the account versus the benefit of what could come from it.
Yep.
And so being able to tie the behavior that you want repeated to the reward is really a big thing that Apple's done that's going to be, I think, a winner for them.
Well, and it deepens the relationship too. Through a simple thing like a payment, it totally deepens the relationship. Like, it almost kind of propels you to go, well, I'm going to go back, I'm going to get that, you know, I'm going to get that new iPhone.
Absolutely.
Because I'm getting some money back.
And you get triple points if you buy Apple products on it, right? And they know it's people that are wanting those.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had someone ask me the question about how points could tie in on that. If it's the right points, you're talking about like airline miles.
Mm-hmm.
So Alaska Airlines mileage program is a big deal in the Seattle area where I'm from, where the cards that Alaska Airlines Visa is the most used and it's the biggest competition. But the benefit is you're earning those points and you have this affiliation of the benefit of the points. You don't even think about Bank of America, who has that card. It's about the association with that. And when you fly with Alaska and you're earning miles and you're redeeming, it's all about the benefit of that. And you're only thinking about the benefits of that card. It has nothing to do with B of A, in the same way that this new card doesn't have anything to do with Goldman Sachs.
Right.
Nobody knows or cares.
Yeah, it's
where
way in the background.
Right, because it's not about that. It's about the bigger brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big misstep I think a lot of financial institutions have as well, is not making it about something bigger, whether it's about the members or it's about the community or something that you're able to tie it back to where that value is. And again, that's all framing. That's the Apple Card. It's just a credit card. We all know that.
Right.
Everybody at a financial institution is looking at that and saying, that's just like what we have. We could have done that. We could do that tomorrow if we wanted, but
why don't you?
Right, then go do it.
Right.
Right. Or just message it better, what you have. Anybody, I could make anything sound like the best product that's around. And if you look at the messaging that's out, where it's, we're the fastest growing company, and it's like, well, that's because you're new, or you had the lowest market share to begin with. So
we doubled in size.
Right.
We now have two employees.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Be going up from this tiny thing and saying like, oh, they only grew by this amount and we grew by this amount.
Yeah.
It's like, but they still have way more numbers. So it's all a frame game, but our brains believe what they hear right away, which is why it's important to, as a consumer to be wary of what's mm-hmm. out there, but as a business mm-hmm. in the way that you put your message out is mm-hmm. really what makes the difference. It's how what you say and like how you say it versus yeah. the thing you're talking about.
Can I look at the other side of the coin here?
Yeah.
Should a credit union though, when you're talking about, you know, Goldman Sachs being in the background for the Apple card, okay, how about a credit union? Does a credit union need to be front and center on that card, or should Alaska Airlines be front and center on that card? What's, I mean, because you obviously a credit union wants to brand themselves and grow their image and grow their name and all that type of stuff. So what's the, I don't know, what's the framing there, I guess, for lack of a better term?
It always depends. That's my, like the pseudo lawyer in me, right, where you say it depends. And it depends
and being
on...
being from Verity, where you wanted to brand your right. credit union.
But I would even say, you know, in those Verity commercials where we did the truth branding, we made it all about the musicians and the artists, and the Verity logo, when we did radio or television campaigns, I was very specific that we wanted the Verity logo to come up at the very, very, very end, mm-hmm. just for a blip.
Okay.
So in a 30-second commercial, and they say the word Verity, they talk about truth a little bit,
sure.
but we come up, it's in like the last 2 seconds mm-hmm. of those 30-second mm-hmm. commercials where mm-hmm. you actually see the name and the tagline.
Okay.
And it's because it's about the bigger picture
okay.
in that case. And so I think it depends on if you're... if your strategy is to align with a bigger purpose, like mm-hmm. if you are a large enough institution to where you are the sponsor of, if you were the official bank or credit union, whatever it is, of the Seattle Seahawks,
yeah, yeah.
then you can go behind, or a really popular sports university team.
Oh, yeah.
They're,
yeah.
Texas, right? If you were the official credit union of Texas A&M University,
yeah.
you can ride on those laurels
sure.
and be
sure.
somewhat in the background, but
gotcha.
You still tie in.
Okay.
Whereas for a smaller organization or one that is maybe looking at building themselves in a different way and mm-hmm. where their name becomes synonymous mm-hmm. with something, mm-hmm. then it's still about the message of what your brand conveys,
yeah.
but it's about your name and what you
okay.
do. So
okay.
it depends on the institution, but it's all about being strategic.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to really think about mm-hmm. what you're trying to accomplish and how you would message that and what that would look like
mm-hmm.
to figure out your own strategy.
Sometimes being subtle is very, very powerful.
It is. It's called priming.
Yeah, your Verity example is very spot on. Yeah.
yeah.
What was it called again?
Priming.
Priming?
Yes. So priming is this amazing, it's I think it's episode 18 on the podcast, maybe 19. I'm getting them all, they get mixed up now, but there are some I talk about a lot. And so this is fascinating. There was a study where they had people going to do some research on a university campus,
mm-hmm.
didn't realize that it was going to be part of this study, but they happened to bump into someone on the way
yeah.
who's holding a bunch of papers and has a drink in their hand, and they kind of have this kerfuffle and say, oh, can you hold this for just a second while
yeah.
they straighten out their papers?
Yeah.
And then they go on their merry way to this completely unrelated research project. Half of the people were handed an iced coffee and the other half were handed a hot coffee just for those few seconds before they went in and did this completely unrelated study.
Yeah.
But they bumped into a research student. And the people who held that iced coffee for just a few seconds, what the task they were doing was evaluating somebody and rating the qualities in that person. They were more likely to think of that person as being cold, distant, difficult.
Oh my God.
When they held an iced coffee for just a few seconds in a totally unrelated scenario. So our brains, like I was saying, it gets tied in on that
yeah.
cutting the car in half,
wow.
the silly little ties. That's mm-hmm. how our brain associates things okay. all the time.
Oh my gosh, how funny is that?
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah. But true. Bizarre, but true.
That's basically all the studies of the brain are bizarre,
yeah.
but true.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, it's kind of strange up there
yes.
so sometimes. So what else about Apple Card do we need to know here? I think there was one more thing,
yes,
possibly?
Yes, the last one was about anticipation and expectation. So one of the things that people have been saying a lot is they think Apple made a misstep in announcing before the product was ready, but actually that's where the true genius of their messaging comes in, because our brains actually love and get dopamine release mm-hmm. based on anticipation
mm-hmm.
versus the actual benefit.
Right,
so
right.
there was a study that was done where they had monkeys in a lab, and they know if you hit this bar 10 times, you get a treat.
Right.
Yay me.
Yeah.
And you would think, most of us would think, that the dopamine release would come when you receive and then are consuming the treat. Like as
right.
a human person, you think eating the chocolate is where the benefit is.
Right.
But what the study found is there. So when the light came on, telling them it's treat time
mm-hmm.
to hit, and then hitting the bar
right.
is where they had the dopamine release. And the minute they got the treat, completely gone.
Wow.
And when you made it unexpected, so you're not getting it 100% of the time, but change it to be a 50%, so this time I do 10 times, nothing comes out.
Yeah.
It doubled the dopamine release. Where they are, because you're not sure if you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And human brains, when you actually think about this, we're all exactly the same. Is it going to be? What's it going to look like? How's that? So we're all hyping it up. We have all this time to be getting dopamine release.
Right.
We're researching. We're setting expectations. And then when it comes out, the brain gets what it expects.
Mm-hmm.
And we have already a high level of expectation because Apple has put out good products for years and years, great things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have these high expectations and our brains expecting it to be good means even if it's just like so-so, we've now built it up to where it's going to be this amazing thing and that's what we'll get.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years and years.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Hey, here's the new Apple phone. It's not going to be out until Christmas or whatever, or June or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that builds the anticipation.
Right.
And, oh my God.
And far too many organizations and, you know, for financial institutions, you're worried about announcing you're going to be launching a new core or doing whatever or making this change or doing the thing or putting out the product until it's absolutely perfect and ready to go.
Yeah.
But, and there's, you know, there's a line to walk there too. You don't want to announce and then have to be constantly pushing back a date.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say something's coming.
Right.
And notice they said summer. Fall, not April 26th, 19th,
right.
You know.
Or the entertainment industry, you know, that's why movie trailers are so popular.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my gosh, coming summer 2019.
Right.
The new Star Wars,
right.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, and a summer.
Oh, I can't wait.
Who knows what summer means?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And that you can be late summer, you can be whatever, but we're excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go look it up, you build your own, you have your anticipation, the expectations, you start talking about it, you build this herd of people that are excited and talking more, and it just fuels itself.
All right, let's wrap it up here with the credit union connection. So these are things that credit unions could actually apply as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. All the concepts are the same, whether you're selling Apple products or bleach or helping people to save. Our brains make decisions in exactly the same way regardless of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding those concepts and then how to apply them is where you win.
Okay.
And that's obviously what I do at The Brainy Business and through the podcast and consulting, helping people to understand how they can actually implement that to make a really big difference with small changes that don't have to cost a lot of money.
Indeed. Fascinating, truly fascinating stuff.
Yeah,
so it's really, it's actually really kind of fun to kind of dive in. I bet your job has got to be so much fun.
I love it.
Melina Palmer, everybody, The Brainy Business. Go look her up. And a wealth of information for sure.
Thanks
all about this thing up here in the
Indeed.
Noggin.
Indeed. Yeah.